Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And Father, we thank you for this day and for your blessings. We ask now, Father, your anointing as we reach into the word, Father, that you have for us today. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts as we deliver this word. And we give you praise and we give you glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to deal some regarding the events that have surrounded the Parkland school shooting in Florida this past week, where once again we as a nation and as a world witnessed evil and betrayal. And with that in mind, I want to look at the subject of betrayal because we as a people, we as a nation, and we as the world are witnessing betrayal firsthand, day after day after day, whether it be from someone that we know or someone that we don't know. From various sources, we are being betrayed. The Bible talks about betrayal. In fact, it uses the word betrayed 19 times and the word betray 18 times. And of course, the most famous case of betrayal takes place in the New Testament when Judas Iscariot runs up to Jesus, kisses him on the cheek, and the Roman soldiers take him into custody. Betrayed by a man that you would have thought was his friend. After all, he'd been with the group for 3 years. After all, he was the treasurer of the group. After all, he was the one that they turned to when they needed some things done. And yet, for a mere 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed Jesus, the Son of God. And we see and we witness in our own daily lives, people betraying one another on a daily basis. In fact, there are television shows where betraying someone's confidence or betraying someone in some form of action is the whole essence of what the program is about. So why do people betray one another? Well, God's word tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And I think we can all agree as we look around, iniquity abounds. We are witnessing an outpouring of sin. We are witnessing an outpouring of iniquity that we have not seen in many, many years. And many, their love has waxed cold. The love of one for another has waxed cold. We put possessions, we put material things, we put our ideas sometimes over our love for one another. Bible goes on to tell us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 12, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death." If we look back in history, we can find cases of parents rising up against children, children rising up against parents and betraying them. We can look back in history and we can find cases of brother or sister rising up against brother or sister and causing them to be put to death. Typically it happens within a political system. And I don't mean to get political on this program today, but sometimes that's what it involves. We can look back and we need to look back sometimes. There's a couple of generations out there that don't remember some of the history that's taken place over the last 100 years. And we can look back to the rise of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. And within that society, brother would turn against brother. Sister would turn against sister. Children would turn against parents. And yes, even sometimes parents would turn against parents and cause them to be put to death. You think, how can that happen? It happens because of what we just read in Matthew 24:12, iniquity, sin that's in the world. Luke 21:16 tells us almost the identical thing to Mark 13:12, but I want to read it from the Holloman Christian Standard Bible. It says, "You will even be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will kill some of you." I want you to think about that. We will be betrayed by sometimes the ones we think love us. And you know, that's the most painful thing, to be betrayed by someone that we thought was our friend, by someone that we thought loved us. And yet, they betrayed us. And I know there have been times within church, within the Christian world, that I personally have been betrayed by people I thought were my friends. And yet they turned on me, stabbed me in the back, so to speak, to further their own agenda. But you know what? I serve a God who's greater than that. And I serve a God who can restore, but it's out there. It happens. It takes place. And why is betrayal brought about? Because it's brought about by evil. Evil is in the Bible 613 times. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 19, it tells us this, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Let's look at that again. Out of the heart proceeds these things, these evil thoughts. Oh, I tell you folks, it's a thing out there anymore. It seems like that we are being bombarded by evil. I mentioned to someone the other day that many years ago when I was taking broadcasting classes, there had been a program on television. It was a program for kids. It was a cartoon show. It was produced in Japan. And it was a program called Speed Racer. And I never really watched it that much because by the time it came on, I was a little bit older. But Speed Racer, basically the violence in it had to do with car crashes and maybe a fist fight every now and then. And there was a group who was trying to get this program banned from television because of the violence that was in this program. Well, of course, I don't know what happened. Speed Racer hasn't been on for more than 50 years, I guess. But today, our young people, our children, our young adults, everyone is being bombarded by evil thoughts, by watching various programs that promote murder, that promote adultery, that promote fornication, promote theft, promote false witness, promote blasphemies. Programming that's on that promotes all of these things is soaking us up today. We're bombarded by it. Even our children are bombarded by it. In fact, right now, most children's programming, if I had young children, I wouldn't let them watch because I don't trust any of it. The video games that's out there, it's murder, it's car wrecks, it's rampage. And yet, our young children are subjected to this. And in their mind, oh, well, I killed somebody in this game, all I got to do is press the reset button. They'll come back to life and I can do it all over again. And they grow up thinking that, hey, this is the way real life works. I can press the reset button and it'll start all over again. But in reality, it does not work that way. We can't push a reset button. Once something is done, it's done. Oh, I know there are some things we can go back and we can fix and we can correct. But if you kill somebody, you can't go back and undo that. If you harm somebody emotionally, you can't go back and undo that. All of these various things that are promoted in video games, radio, television, the movies, the internet. If we do them, we cannot go back and push a reset button and undo them. It doesn't work that way. It comes from the heart because our heart is raised up being filled with evil and with evil thoughts. Luke chapter 11 verse 29 says, "And when the people were gathered thick together," it means a large crowd, "he began to say, this is an evil generation." Boy, if Jesus were walking around on the face of planet Earth today, he'd be talking a lot about an evil generation because it's out there. And he goes on, "And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet." Well, of course, you know the story of Jonah. And in that generation, the city of Nineveh was going to be destroyed because of their evil. And the only thing that could save them was for them to repent. And that's the only thing that's going to save us today, is if we repent of our evil ways. And believe me, it's out there. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Now that word reprobate's not something that we necessarily hear anymore, so I want to read it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which says, "And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what is morally wrong." And we see that today. It's taking place in real time today. People being turned over to a reprobate or worthless mind. In 1965, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled against prayer in public schools. And prior to that ruling, many public schools opened their day with prayer and with Bible reading. I remember as a young kid when I first started school that we had prayer, we had Bible reading in the school, and it took place. And we didn't see these things that we witness taking place in the schools and in the world today. We didn't see any of that stuff. Oh yeah, we had some problems. I didn't even hear about drug problems until I moved to the big city in Los Angeles, California area. I'd never even heard of drugs. And even then, I went through all my years of school and had very little contact with anybody that openly, at least, did drugs. But in essence, we banned Yahweh God from the educational system, and we infused a separation of church and state that's not even in the Constitution. And I know there are people out there that'll jump up and down and scream and holler and say, the Constitution says there's separation of church and state. Well, what the Constitution basically states, that religion is to be free from government interference and not the reverse. And today, the government interferes in our freedom of religion on a continual basis. Well, since this ban of God in public schools took place in 1962, we've seen and witnessed a decline in the morality in the United States and a rise in immorality and evil. And as I bring this word today, I can only speak of what's happening in the United States because I'm not living in some other country and I'm not up to date on what's taking place in other parts of the world necessarily, but I can speak about what's taking place here, and I know it's taking place elsewhere as well. I saw a posting the other day on social media which read something like this. It was a little sign that says, "Dear God, why did you let these things happen in our schools?" And God's reply, "I'm not allowed in school." And that's part of the reason. We have tried to banish God from the landscape. We have tried to banish God from the public forum. We have tried to banish God from our everyday lives. Somebody mentioned something about the fact that we needed to get back to God and we needed to have a moral revival, so to speak. And of course, this particular comment on social media, a bunch of atheists jumped in and said, "Well, we don't believe in God, blah, 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 blah." Well, that's the problem. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe in God. And anything goes, everything goes. It doesn't matter what it is, because after all, we're going to live so many years and we're going to die and we're going to turn back to dust. And that's it. It's over with. There is no heaven. There is no hell. And there are even churches today that's preaching there is no hell. And that's a sad situation. When those institutions who are supposed to be proclaiming the Word of God are getting up and telling their people part of the Bible is not true, because the Bible tells us very plainly there is a hell, and yet we have pastors today telling their congregations there is no hell. After all, a loving God would not send a person to hell. And you know what? That is true. A loving God doesn't send a person to hell. He made a way of escape for every last one of us. It is we ourselves who send ourselves to hell. We make that decision whether or not we go to heaven or hell. We make that decision by whether or not we accept the forgiveness of sin that was paid for on the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ. Whether or not we accept Him into our life makes that decision whether or not we go to heaven or hell. So evil is having a field day. It's running rampant. I can kind of imagine maybe, if not Lucifer himself, maybe some of his underlings, dancing their little happy dance around his throne, saying, "We've got it now. We're in control. We're in charge." And I'll tell you, my friend, if you're trying to live for God and you mess up and you do things you shouldn't do, I'll tell you, there's probably a little devil somewhere that says, "Oh, he's got to do his happy dance because I caused him to mess up, because I caused him to sin." Well, evil is having a field day, as I said. And why? Because in verse 29 of Romans chapter 1, where we started reading a while ago, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And we're going to stop right there for a moment. Boy, you see all of these things taking place in the world today. Every time you turn around, you hear about a murder. Every time you turn around, you hear about deceit. Every time you turn around, you hear of all kinds of unrighteousness and maliciousness. We hear of people who are despiteful. And this one here that really strikes the world today, disobedient to parents. And parents, today you need to raise your kids to fear and be in the fear and admonition of God. Let them know that there is a God. Let them know that there is a consequence for what they do. But so many times, little Johnny can do no wrong. Well, little Johnny can do a lot of wrong. And the bigger he gets, the more wrong he can do. And the same goes for little Susie. If we don't raise them to know that there is a God and that there is a consequence for what they do. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I mentioned at the beginning of the message the incident that happened this past week in Parkland, Florida. And yet, we see around the nation here in the United States, within a few days after this took place, other people posting threats on social media, saying that they're going to do something very similar. After all, he almost got away with it. Why couldn't I do it? And maybe I might get away with it. Well, it doesn't work that way, my friend. You may try, but it'll always catch up with you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, and we're going to read this from the Holloman Christian Standard Bible. Say, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. The Bible has warned us over and over again that before Jesus comes, the days will be evil. And we are living in evil unlike what we have seen before. 2 Timothy 3:13, also from the Holloman Christian Standard Bible, says, evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving, and being deceived. I looked up on Google about those who had committed mass murder, just to get a list of some of the people. And I tell you, it's outstanding how amazing almost how many people have become mass murderers over the last 30, 40 years. And we are seeing a rise of the Stephen Paddocks, of the Francisco Gonzalez's, the Devin Kelly's, and those who have committed mass murder. And these are some that have happened in just the last few years here in the United States. It goes on to list others in other parts of the world that have taken place, and we think nothing about it hardly. In fact, within a short period of time, we will forget about it. Oh, some will remember, but most will tend to forget. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. I didn't put on the list here, and I thought about putting it into the message, some of the evil people and imposters that have been in the world, the Charles Mansons, the David Koresh's, who, under the guise of religion, led to the death of dozens of people in Waco, Texas, back in the 90s. Or of Jim Jones, who in the early 80s led a group of people under the guise of religion to the nation of Guyana, where there, when things were closing in on him, he got them all to commit suicide. And those that wouldn't do it willingly, they did it for them. That's an imposter in my book. And if you're listening to this message in another country, you may think of some people that I haven't even heard about. Well, this is sound pretty bad here, because evil is bad, and evil is bad. I don't care how you look at it, evil is bad. But, and I just thought, evil is a four-letter word. We talk a lot about four-letter words today, and we generally associate them with profanity. Evil is a four-letter word, but there's another four-letter word, hope. Is there any hope? And realistically, for our society and for the world and the situation it's in today, and quite honestly from reading the Bible, the hope for our society and for the world today, as it continues on the way it is, the answer is no. Not in society, not in world government, not in any of these things that man can bring about. I tell you, we're beyond hope if we look to man. Because man has failed. Man has failed since Adam partook of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden 6,000 plus years ago. But there is hope if you're a Christian. And there's even hope if you're not a Christian, if you listen to what I have to say in just a few minutes. Because you see, if you're a Christian, your hope is in Jesus Christ. And John chapter 14, verses 1 through 2 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then in verse 3, of John chapter 14, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. Jesus himself told us there is hope. If we believe in him, if we accept him, there is hope. Well, we may have to go through a few things down here, but there is hope in the world to come. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it's going to be unlike anything you've ever even thought about. And quite honestly, my friends, we can't even begin to imagine what God has in store for us. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, the most famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved us so much that he made a way of hope for us by sending Jesus Christ to pay the price on the cross of Calvary, that we could have salvation, that we could have hope, that we could have forgiveness of sin, and that we could have our relationship with God restored to the way it was meant to be in the Garden of Eden. The question, though, is, are you ready? Are you listening to me today? And maybe you've attended church, but you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. If that's the case, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not ready. Because the only way you can be ready to receive what God has spoken to us in his word is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to invite him to be Lord of your life, to ask Jesus Christ into your heart and say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Take out all those unclean things. Restore me to the relationship that you have planned for me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on Calvary's cross." And a prayer just as simple as that will give you hope. It will give you salvation. It will give you relationship with the God of the universe. And the only way that we can have hope is through Jesus Christ. And Father, today, I ask that if there's anyone that's listening that doesn't know Jesus, that they will take this message to heart and they will give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, that they will ask him to come in today and ask him to be their Lord and Savior. We give you praise. We've asked it in Jesus' name. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, would you sit down and contact us? The announcer is going to give the address information in just a moment. Just let us know. We're not going to bombard you with stuff or anything like that. Just let us know if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.